Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Evershed Sutherland, Ireland's largest and most established global law firm, with full service teams for your legal and tax solutions.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Emma May. She's the CEO of Corebuild and the CEO of Ardagh. Emma, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, we're going to talk about Ardagh and indeed Corebuild a bit later on, but I want to talk about your earlier years. You grew up in Dundrum. Your father was a businessman and a developer, as I understand it. You had two sisters, and your first job, I think, was in the Stillorgan Orchard. Is that a good summary of the very early days?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So tell us more. Tell us about you originally embarked on a career in hospitality. You attended DIT Cal Brew Street, a place I'm very familiar with. What attracted you to hospitality?
So I always wanted to do a business degree, but I wanted it to be sloped towards something a little more exciting than just business as a whole. So the degree in Carbrew Street was something that I could have hands-on in relation to my work experience and stuff like that for the 4 years. So it also, I had a huge interest in IT, and it was a strong emphasis on the IT subject.
Okay. So your first job out at Carbrew Street ended up in the Plaza Hotel in Rathmines, but you found your way into a company called EDS, which I think was taken over by Hewlett-Packard.
Yeah.
So you ended up in IT.
Yeah, so when I finished in Carbrew Street, I went and did my postgrad in Siemens, which was just on Leeson Street. It's not there any longer. So I spent a year there concentrating on the IT side. So after that, I went and I was a technical engineer on the road, going to different organisations, which again I liked because it was different industries you were getting to walk in to have a look at. So I worked there for about 2 years, and then I went into EDS.
Okay,
and it was much more a meatier company. I went in as a manager. We had big customers, so they were back then, I suppose, in 2002, people were starting to outsource their IT. It was getting something that the people were more reliant on.
Yeah.
So we kind of fall to Ireland, we'd RTE.
And were you at the sales end or the technical end?
No, I was more on the managerial side.
Right.
I was kind of client focused. So
sure.
I was looking after the client and making sure that our technicians that were in there were doing a good job. We had reporting. If there was issues, but I was solely responsible
sure.
for it.
So you found your way then to Salesforce, where you met your husband. And had you a similar role there?
Well, it went from, I suppose, just being an Irish role in EDS to being a more global role. So no, I was an EMEA support manager. So I had a couple of big global accounts actually in the airlines. And then they outsourced a lot of their kind of support function, which was down actually beside the airport. So there was 20 outsources there, and then my own team of 10 internally in Sandyford. Yeah.
Now, in 2008, I think your world changed. Your dad died suddenly, and you found yourself, maybe you hadn't planned this or maybe you had, but you found yourself being drawn back into the family business. Just tell us a little bit about that and that experience.
Yeah, so sadly, my dad suddenly died in 2008. He was quite young. He was 64. So it was absolutely not expected at all. He died of a heart attack, where my mum was the one with the very bad heart. So I suppose on that day, personally, everything changed for me.
Sure.
But over the next couple of months, I suppose financial crisis was starting. This was happening, and there was a huge amount of unrest in the economy. I was in Salesforce. I could see my mother was struggling hugely with the amount of workload and solicitors and different things that she had to deal with. I was with Alan at the time. I'd fallen pregnant. So bizarrely, I was going into my maternity leave and having my first son. And during my maternity leave, I decided to give up my role in Salesforce and go and work fully for my dad's estate.
And that was a complex, I suppose, challenging and stressful time. Not only were you dealing with your personal grief, but you were in NAMA and all that went with that, and unravelling a fairly complex scenario which took a number of years.
Yeah, it was a hugely kind of complex estate. It had retail, it had Dundrum Town Centre, it had office blocks, it had property in the UK, America and Europe as well. So it was pretty complex.
Sure.
I also had my baby, so I had all those hormones running around me as well. So,
you called them your NAMA children, three of your four children.
Yeah, three of my four children were NAMA children, and then my last little girl wasn't. So, yeah. But through that state, like through the NAMA kind of time as well, trying to be a mother as well, I had two miscarriages in the middle of it with the amount of stress that I was going through. There was many other things
sure.
going on at
but,
that time. Yeah.
But you've bought and sold a number of businesses. Tell us a little bit about Basta and Westland Construction, two businesses that you got involved in.
Basta was an exciting one. It was over in Tubbercurry in Sligo. It was an examinership. So we went over and we bought that and we actually brought it back to Dublin. And over a 2-year period, we changed a little bit of the...
listeners will know it as the Ironmongery brand.
Sorry, apologies.
Yeah,
Ironmongery.
Yeah.
So if you go into any of the building providers, they're all the handles. And actually, if you look on your lock, the majority of them are Basta.
Yeah.
It's a very exciting Irish-owned company. I think it's 60 years, so it's an incredibly fabulous brand. So we did a huge amount in relation to the branding and positioning of that. And then 2 years ago, we sold it to Latex. So it's still in all of our shops. So we're very proud of that.
Right. And Westland Construction, again, was that a distressed purchase?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
We were dealing with the owner there. Again, I think that was in receivership. And we took, I think it was an 80% stake in it. We helped with the branding. We helped with the strategy. With the owner there, and over a 3-year period, we got the company kind of rocking and rolling, and then he bought us back out of us. So,
perfect.
Yeah.
That works for everybody.
Yeah.
So tell us then about the current scenario. Then, if we talk about Corebuild, we talk about Airedale. Corebuild, as I understand it, a group of builders providers again acquired individually, mainly family business across the greater Dublin area. But you now have quite a sizable business there, employing over 150 people.
Yeah. So very proud of that. So we bought our first one in Clondalkin in 2015. And a lot of the owners that we've bought off didn't want a corporate coming in and kind of stripping it of all its values. So we did a pretty good job there. We have very low turnover of staff actually across our company. And after we bought Clondalkin, Newtown, Blackrock, and again, they were kind of elderly owners that had no family that wanted to take over.
Yeah.
So we rebranded in 2022. And it's going really, really well, going from strength to strength. We're very different to all the other building providers out there. And our values are very family ownership and stuff like that.
That's great. So. And I presume the strategy is to acquire more like businesses then and grow that brand?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're always on the lookout. So
yeah.
We have a couple of exciting things happening over the next couple of months. So.
That's great. And what about Airedale then? House development, you're sitting on a land bank with the potential of, 1,600 houses?
Hopefully 1,600 houses over the next 3 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's doing really well. We've 20 employees there, recruiting pretty heavily as well. And our current site, Mariners Point in Wicklow, is going extremely well.
You talk about the you know, there's, we hear about every day about the housing crisis and our ability to build houses and build houses quickly. And but as somebody who's on the inside here, you talk about feasibility being a massive issue, and I get this, because if it's not feasible to make a profit on building a house, why would you build it? So I'm like, you know, developers are often vilified for, you know, sitting on land, but you know, if you were them, would you do the same thing? Just tell me a little bit about that, because I think our listeners would be interested.
Yeah, look, I think planning has got extremely difficult at the moment. The hardest thing I find is timing. Like, you have judicial reviews going on at the moment. You have high density of kind of what the planners want. So feasibility of things are just really, really difficult. Like Irish Water is trying to get answers out of them and stuff like that as well. So yeah, it's one of the things that we really struggle with at the moment in Ireland. I know there's a couple of new kind of acts and stuff coming through as well. They will help to a certain extent, but timing is just really, really difficult. And that's, I suppose, why we're kind of looking over in the UK at the moment.
Right.
Things are a little more easier in relation to, if you're going to buy land, how long it's going to take for the planning and how quickly you'd be able to build a house, yeah, on top of it.
Okay, that's interesting, because it must be a huge frustration to be looking at a piece of land, trying to extract value out of it, trying to make a business out of it, and then, you know, this torturous process of...
Yeah, and amenities are very hard. Like Irish Water is quite difficult. I know hopefully over time that'll be much more standardised, and that's just quite difficult at the moment as well.
Okay, now you're a big, just to close out, you're a huge Eurovision fan. You were over in Liverpool last year. Tell us a little bit about your Eurovision obsession. Where did that come from?
Do you know what? It's music in general. I love an old concert. I've always, from a very early age, even from Riverdance days, it's just been something huge. Like, I'd have all the VCRs at home with the little black thing taken off the back. But music is always a big, big thing in our family. And it was a kind of life goal to actually go and actually be at one of the Eurovisions.
Cool. And congratulations again on winning the Image Businesswoman of the Year. I was at the event and shared in your excitement. So well done on that too. So that's Emma May there, the CEO of Corebuild and the CEO of Airedale. Thanks for joining us today, Emma.
Thank you for
having me. And enjoy the weekend.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.